More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Order in the court. Dan, More to Life, our conflict and chaos turning your life upside down. We're going to help you restore peace, respect, and a little order. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, order in the court.
Don't you wish you could just do that sometimes when life is getting chaotic and everyone would just silence and then listen and attend to you and do what you say?
We all just need to walk around with a gavel.
With a gavel, yeah. There are a lot of us who want to hit somebody over the head with that gavel sometimes when things are getting really chaotic. Let's be honest. Don't do it. But let's be honest.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the reality is, you know, we all feel overwhelmed at times. I mean, sometimes it can just be about, you know, kind of waking up in the morning and facing all the stuff you got to do.
Yeah.
And wondering, well, how do I get my head around this day? Other times, it's because there's an argument that's going on or some conflict with somebody you care about that you're not sure how to resolve. Sometimes it's because there's an unexpected challenge that you're having to face. What we want to talk about today, though, is how do we get ourselves to a place where we can respond to all of that gracefully? So whatever the challenge is, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
So we're asking today, what's making you feel overwhelmed? Big or little, anything on that whole spectrum of feelings? What is making you feel overwhelmed? Is there a challenge you're facing you're not sure what you should do about? An argument or a disagreement with someone that you don't know how to resolve? Let us help you find grace-filled ways to solve the problem or restore the order in your life and your relationships. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And what we're really focusing on here today is this sort of mindset that allows us to respond to conflicts and challenges in graceful ways, as opposed to what we usually do, which is just kind of react and, you know, do whatever seems at least right in the moment, or
right, or just what our bodies seem to be telling us we need to do. So, you know, as adults, we all deal with this, but certainly as when we're parents or we're in a working situation where other people are depending on us, even somebody being off, being nasty with us, not doing what they're supposed to do, can suddenly seem like a five-alarm fire if you're under a deadline. Whether that deadline is the school bus or the work project or any of those things. And maybe if we could pause a moment, we'd know, all right, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't the five-alarm fire. I should be able to just cope with this and work through it. But when we just listen to our bodies, we don't realize that it's that. We just think, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. I don't know how to handle this. I'm not equal to it, or they're all awful. So our mind just starts to spin. And it doesn't allow any space for God's grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit, to step into our minds and our situation.
So it's really kind of broad today. So if there's a challenge you're facing, you're not sure what to do about, or a conflict that you're in that you're not sure how to resolve, the point is we want to help you get to the place where you can sort that stuff out. Like, what are the steps that we have to go through to get our heads and our spirits in a place where we can really be effective, proactive, where we can be confident in knowing how to respond to the chaos or the conflict in our lives? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email. I can do this. I really can. I believe in myself. The address is questions@moretolifradio.com. Whew, well done. And we are taking your questions, though, about handling chaos, conflict, and stressful situations. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, it's perfectly reasonable to ask, how could some theology possibly help me deal with stressful situations?
Yeah, I can barely think straight. Now you want me to do theology,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, right, exactly. But here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked some really big questions. And he wanted to know, essentially, what is the Catholic vision? What can Catholicism teach the world about thriving, about human flourishing? What can Catholicism teach the world about having the kinds of healthy, holy relationships that really allow us to satisfy the longings in our hearts for that love that we all want, but also bear witness to the world of the power of Christ's love and grace? And his answer to those questions became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that when we're facing either conflict or difficult situations, even if we're just perceiving them that way, the most important thing to consider isn't, how do I fix this? It's, how do I stay connected to God and be my best self while responding to this? Emphasis on the well, because sometimes we think we're just supposed to go off on the top of a mountain, be all alone, and breathe deeply and pray. But no, it's how to stay connected to God, be my best self while I respond to this. That's what St. John Paul called receptivity. It's the ability to leave a little room for the Holy Spirit, so to speak, between the things that happen to us and the response that we make to those things.
I like your adoption of that phrase of leaving the room for the Holy Spirit between the things that happen to us and our reactions to things. Because, you know, the opposite of that receptivity is reactivity. That's where we kind of squeeze out the Holy Spirit, right? We just impulsively respond to a stressful situation, doing kind of whatever pops into our head. And even when those responses aren't harmful or sinful, they're rarely helpful, right? So when we can focus on calming down our minds, slowing down our bodies, centering our spirits in Christ in the moment before we respond, we're more likely to find the right words to say and the right things to do to cooperate with God's grace and bring about His will from in any situation.
All right, that might sound complicated, but even in the middle of chaos or conflict, all it takes is remembering to take a breath and offer up a short prayer, something like, Lord, help me respond to this in a way that glorifies you, helps me be my best self, and invites the other people involved to be their best. Covering all your bases there.
Yeah, and that really focuses us on coming to a calmer place and also what the goal really is. And when you practice that habit, it's not just a good spiritual exercise, it's actually good psychologically too, because when we can remember to center ourselves and bring the situation to God in even the second before we respond, brain science tells us that that pause allows our thinking brain to catch up with our feeling brain.
That's right.
Which then allows us to cooperate with the way God designed us to respond best to challenging situations. That's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. The show titled Order in the Court, as we talk about managing conflict and chaos. And when it feels like it's turning our lives upside down, how do we set things right and bring about some order back in our lives? 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Call up and share. What's making you feel overwhelmed? Is there a challenge you're facing that you're not sure what to do about? A conflict you're not sure how to respond to? We want to help you find graceful ways to not just solve the problem, but restore that order in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today and we thank you for the blessings that you give us and for the grace that you give us to respond rather than react to difficult situations. We bring those challenges to you now, Lord, and we ask you to help us respond to them in ways that glorify you, that enable us to be our best selves, that challenge the people around us to be their best as well, so that even as we deal with the chaos and the conflict in our lives, we're remembering our mission to bring your grace to every situation and to use even the chaos and conflict as opportunities to build your kingdom by bringing your love and grace into those moments and responding in ways that glorify you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great, pray for us. Today, one more to life, order in the court, as we talk about dealing with conflict and chaos. How do we get ourselves to a place where we're not just feeling like we're reacting to everything, like we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop? You know, how do we adopt that more grace-filled, proactive, confident mindset that allows us to kind of, well, pick up our cross and do what God wants us to do in the situation? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Emily, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hey, Emily, what's going on?
Hey, I am currently dealing with a conflict with my little sister. She is in her early 20s. She is very responsible in her life. She has a great job, and she's getting married, and she's involved in the Catholic Church more so than I was at her age, so I'm very proud of her in that sense. So she is definitely struggling with doing normal, I don't want to say normal, but what would be normal 20-year-old activities, and I think I have a hard time as a sister where I need to step in and saying, hey, this isn't good for you at this point in your life, or this can cause consequences in the life that you
Emily, help me understand here a little bit, because at first it sounded like you were saying that she was a responsible person, she's very involved in her faith, and now you're saying, no, she's not really able to make good choices. So give me a clearer vision of what's going on with your sister here.
She definitely lives like a double life, I guess. She's responsible in the sense of the job she was able to achieve, and she has a really good relationship with her fiancé, which we love, right? He's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
They
good.
Did the whole process, which is awesome. But then the other side of her life, more social and hobbies and things, the drinking and certain lifestyle choices, like just, you know, the going out and who she surrounds herself with, I think pose a big risk to the good aspects of her life. So, and she struggles.
What's your relationship with her like?
We're close, and I'm the middle sister, so we're a group of three, and she's our youngest, and so I do have a good relationship with her where I can talk, but recently, you know, with preparations with the wedding and stuff, she's definitely, we haven't been able to really connect on that part, and she does, like, I think the fact that I do highlight certain things, she sees me as very critical. And I don't want to be harsh, but I also want to give her advice.
She does have her own personal faith life?
Yes, she does. I do think that, and I, you know, it obviously isn't my place, but she tends to go and, you know, she'll go to Mass and go to confession and then right after she'll go out and kind of participate in stuff she shouldn't. And I don't want to have judgment with that, but I also want to steer her on the right track and kind of call her out.
Yeah, so I mean, and you're right. You know, you said it's not your place, and it's not exactly not your place, but you have to be careful about how to exercise your place. You know, you're and even honestly, if you were her mom, you wouldn't have a place to specifically tell her what to do because she's an adult.
Although it's a spiritual work of mercy to admonish the sinner. So we all have a place to call one another on to help each other live our best life as Christians. Sometimes it's even harder when we're closer, though, because there's a lot of relationship dynamics that have to be negotiated. So it's not that it isn't necessarily your place. It's how you have these conversations with your sister, how you can have not just I'm telling you this, but actual influence in your sister's life.
So there are a couple of things. I mean, our the way we exercise that admonishment, you know, that spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner, especially in these kinds of situations that sound you're not saying, you know, she's going out and, you know, knocking over convenience stores or something. She's doing things.
Crimes involved, but it's not healthy and it's not open to a lot of holiness if you're right about how she's living.
Kinds of things you're describing, at least based on, you know, what you said, it sound more like what we would call near occasions of sin. They're not necessarily sinful themselves, but they're maybe irresponsible. They're not the healthiest choices to make. They kind of set her up for possible problems, and that's giving you cause for concern. In those kinds of situations where you don't have a direct thing to say, hey, that's really wrong, you know, it's important to ask questions. Not judgy questions, right? But honest, curious questions. There's a difference between curiosity and condemnation. Right? Condemnation is, why are you doing that? You know, what is wrong with you? You know, can't you see how this is?
You know,
that's condemnation.
Anything that would immediately, if it came out of somebody else's mouth toward you, you'd flinch, you'd get defensive. So kind of filter it that way.
Curiosity is where you're kind of expressing both empathy and a genuine interest in understanding the way she thinks about things, whether you agree with it or not. Right, so you could say, look, you know, I'm honestly trying to understand. Like, on the one hand, sister, it seems like you really take your faith seriously, and you really want to be known as a Christian person and live a Christian life.
And you've gotten such great formation for your engagement, your marriage. I'm so pleased with that. That's so fantastic.
On the other hand, you know, you're doing some of these things, and how do you see those things going together? Like, because I mean, I'm honestly asking. I'm not, you know, not. I mean, it's not there's not the choices I would make, and I think you know that. But I'm just asking, how do you see those things going together? And you just ask the question. You have to be okay with whatever it is. She might say, well, you know, my faith, I mean, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. I mean, and you have to accept that, right? Because God accepts that. God accepts our free will. He says, look, this is how I want you to live. These are the things that you can do that would lead to an abundant life. And then he lets us choose. And he lets us kind of find our own way. And so the other thing you can do is you can say, if she gives you an answer you're not happy about, you say, well, look, I love you, and I just want the best for you. Just promise me that whatever you do, you're always praying about it. And even if you're not sure that she will, even that inviting a person back to God and really saying, look, it's not my place to tell you what to do, but I just want to invite you to deepen your relationship with God and ask him what he thinks about this. And that's all that's all any of us are obliged to do is to bring that to God, and ask Him to teach us how to live. And so, you want to avoid being a scold. You want to avoid being in a position where you're trying to exercise authority you don't have. You're, as I said at the beginning, you're not her mom, and even if you were, you wouldn't have any authority because she's an adult. The Catechism even says that adult children don't owe obedience to their parents, although we need to honor them. So, Emily, I think that's the best way, and also I would just draw closer to her and be a friend. You know, she needs a friend during this time, while she's preparing for the wedding, and being that kind of faithful, supportive friend is the best way is the third way, I guess, to really continue to influence her in healthy ways. And I guess finally, really living a prayerful life, the kind of life that, that you think that she would look at and say, you know, I want to be more like Emily. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. But it is, it's tricky to find out, you know, when we love somebody, we have questions about the choices they're making, how do we influence them in appropriate ways without being scolds or judges? It's a good question. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking more of your questions, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. She'll be talking to us about how to get that peaceful place where we can respond rather than react. Stick around for that and a whole lot more in just a minute.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, order in the court as we talk about managing chaos and conflict. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, and she also is a mental performance coach in our faith-based success and performance coaching program at CatholicCounselors.com. Rachel, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
So when you're working with clients who, you know, are in high-pressure situations, needing to be their best under pressure, how do you empower people to really respond in these effective ways and not become overwhelmed by the conflict and chaos in their lives?
What I often share is that when we're facing a problem that we don't know how to solve, one of the first things that tends to happen is that our brain tries to solve all of it at once. So we have an argument with our spouse and suddenly we're not just thinking about the argument. We're thinking, what if this never changes? We've had this conversation before. How am I supposed to keep doing this? Or maybe it's a problem with your child or your job. The actual problem might be difficult enough, but then your brain starts adding every possible implication, every future scenario, every past frustration, everything we think we're supposed to do about it. And then pretty soon we're not just solving the problem anymore. We're drowning in it. And that specifically is what overwhelm is. One of the things that I think is really important to understand is that overwhelm changes the way that we think. When our nervous system perceives that we're facing more than we can handle, our thinking brain becomes more rigid. Our attention narrows. We have a harder time accessing creativity, perspective, and flexible problem solving, which creates this really frustrating cycle of I feel overwhelmed because I don't know what to do, and the more overwhelmed I become, the harder it is to figure out what to do. So sometimes the first step towards solving the problem isn't actually solving the problem. It's getting yourself back into a state where you're capable of approaching it well. So I like to think about this in three steps. Regulate, separate, and then choose. So So first, regulate. If you're at like an 8 or a 9 emotionally, that probably isn't the best moment to solve the marriage problem or send the email. Take care of your body first.
That's the best time to send the email. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? But we want to take the time to breathe, to move, to pray, to get a glass of water. Just give yourself some space. Not in a way where you're avoiding the problem, but in a way where you're preparing yourself to address it well. And then separate. Ask yourself, what's the actual problem I need to solve? Not every fear associated with it or everything that could theoretically happen 6 months from now. Also, not every other time this person's frustrated you since 2017. What's the problem right now? And then separate that problem into two categories. What's mine to do and what isn't mine to control? And this is huge in general, but I think especially in relationship conflicts. We may be able to communicate clearly, apologize, set a boundary, ask for what you need. What you cannot do is force the other person to understand you, agree with you, apologize to you, change their behavior, or respond exactly the way that you were hoping that they would. So sometimes a tremendous amount of overwhelm comes from trying to solve the part of the problem that belongs to somebody else. And then finally, choose. Ask, what is the next good thing I can do? Not how do I fix the whole situation, what's the next good thing? What is that next faithful step that I can take with the information that I have right now? Sometimes when we ask God for help, what we really want him to do is just hand us that entire roadmap. Tell me exactly what to do and tell me that if I make this choice, everything's going to be okay. But that's usually not how grace works. God gives us what we need to respond in this moment. We don't necessarily get that grace today for every hypothetical thing that might happen 6 months from now. We get the grace to take the next faithful step. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by something, instead of demanding that you figure the whole thing out, try regulate, separate, and then choose.
I love it.
Really nice way of summarizing everything we were talking about before, especially with the prayer that we offered for today. You know, Lord, help me respond to this in a way that glorifies you, helps me be my best self, and invites the people around me to be their best self too. It lets us identify that next good step. Rachel, thanks for being with us. Folks can learn more about her good work at CatholicCounselors.com. Call us now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about chaos and conflict and how to respond confidently and gracefully.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle. Yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Just who is to blame for Jesus' crucifixion? The Church blames you, me, and all sinners for the suffering of the Savior, says the Catholic Catechism. We would like to heap all the blame on the Jews of Jesus' era and forget our own guilt. But the Church will not allow it. We are reminded that Christ came to save all sinners through all ages. Moreover, the Church points out our responsibility is even greater than the Jews of Jesus' day. We know who Jesus is. Many of them did not. They acted out of ignorance. Every time we sin now, we wound the Lord again in our hearts, which is where he lives, an awesome and sorrowful thought. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When you're feeling burned out, what's your instinct? For most of us, it's to pull back, to do less, conserve what energy we've got left. The trouble is, the more we phone it in, the emptier the whole thing starts to feel. Ironically, the best way to beat burnout isn't to bring less of yourself to your life or relationships, it's to bring more, but in a different way. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I help you discover that burnout is really effort minus meaning. And the cure is reconnecting your daily effort to the purpose underneath it. So here's one thing to try. Pick something that's worn you thin and ask, how could I bring a little more of my heart and creativity to this? What would make it mine again? Then do that thing. You'll be amazed how fast a little creative reinvestment changes your whole perspective. For more on rediscovering your spark, see The Life God Wants You to Have or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Order in the Court, as we talk about getting ourselves to a place where we can respond well to conflict and chaos. Is there a problem you're not sure what to do about? An argument that you're not sure how to resolve? Just a situation that makes you feel overwhelmed? And you can't quite get your head around it, let us help you figure out grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and the confidence you need to make good choices in all those situations. 877-573-7825.
Before we help our next caller, we want to spotlight another great EWTN radio affiliate celebrating an anniversary. Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio, serving Fairbanks, Alaska for 13 years.
Wow, congratulations to Steve Mullins and his team at KQHE in Fairbanks from all of us here at EWTN Radio. And wherever you're listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living more faithful and abundant lives. Once again, though, congratulations to Steve Mullins and his team at KQHE Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska. And our thanks to everyone who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener. With that, we are taking your questions right now at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Order in the Court. So we talk about managing chaos and conflict gracefully. Who's up?
We got a call from Christy, who is listening in... I'm going to start that again.
We got a call from Christy. This isn't live. We can just take it out in the editing, right?
Oh, Christy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado, called in, and she said she's struggling with a coworker. She said she's new to her job, and the coworker is very different than her. She is very blunt and comes off as kind of harsh, even though Christy doesn't think she means to be mean. How can she better work with her while she's getting used to this new job?
Christy, thank you for the question. And, you know, the answer here is challenging, but it's the way forward. We all need to learn how not to personalize other people's moods.
Yeah, and that's one of the hardest things we can do because, you know, all of our brain fires to be able to connect with people through all our mirror neurons, and when somebody's in a bad mood or just has that temperament, that can really throw us off because not only do we feel unconnected, but we also have that scenario very much like Rachel Isaac was talking about in our last segment, where she was saying, you know, our minds just start to run to all these negative questions about ourselves as well, and so it leaves us feeling like we can't do anything.
The reason I say that, Christy, is because it's easy, especially when you're feeling insecure in a new position, it's easy to take personally the brusque attitude of somebody or take it as a criticism or a sign that you're not doing well. You want to look for concrete evidence of your performance, not so much, you know, take her mood. So if you do a job and somebody says the job and not even compliments you, they just, okay, the job is done, good, let's move on, you know that you've succeeded at the job, regardless of the mood of your coworker. You don't say this coworker is a supervisor or somebody who is over you.
That's a good point.
So I'm going to operate under that assumption, but that she's supposed to be somebody that's coming alongside of you and helping you deal with these kinds
or
of things.
Or just on the same team.
Yeah, but it's all about recognizing that if somebody is irritable or even disrespectful or
just brusque.
Brusque or unkind, that doesn't necessarily reflect on anything that I've done or said. I think it's okay to say, to prayerfully ask myself, have I knowingly done anything to upset this person? And if so, you know, I can go to them and say, hey, is everything okay? You know, something we need to work on. And you might even do that here. You might say, hey, I just want to make sure that, we're in a good place, and, you know, I'm somehow picking up that maybe there's some tension or that you're upset about something. Is everything all right? You know, and it's fine to ask. But once you've asked that, you need to let it go and recognize that the mood the other person is their thing to manage, and it's not a judgment on you. We sometimes grow up even in households where, you know, as kids we're concerned because we don't want to upset our parents, right? So we become a little hypervigilant,
yeah.
and we start to take moods personally. That's how we learn to take moods personally, especially if mom and dad were a little bit heavy-handed. You know, not always, but that can be the source of a lot of this. And so we then project it onto other people. You know, we start seeing mom and dad's head on our coworker's body or our boss.
Or we've just learned to survive by, you know, always being, you know, ultra on our radar about anybody's temperament or mood.
But again, as adults, I mean, it's important to recognize that somebody's mood is not a criticism or comment on my behavior necessarily. And it's fine to ask out of charity, is everything okay? Is there anything that I can be doing to help better, to, you know, help you feel better, or anything I can clarify? But once you've done that, then you need to kind of give them the free will to be how they're being. And you focus on doing your job and getting concrete evidence of your performance.
That's
rather
right.
Than the sort of subjective evidence.
And if it has anything to do with your performance, it's okay to say, all right, what parts of this have I gotten right? As well as, what do I need to change in the parts that you're saying I haven't gotten right? So you're almost forcing the edge of, there's got to be something positive I did here. So you're bringing her brain back to that. You're looking for that to make sure that there was something, and then saying, all right, now teach me how to do this thing differently. How is it done here? So it's not about your feelings. It's about, what can I do differently? So in both of those cases, whether she's actually helping you with your performance at this new job, or she's just kind of got this brusque attitude all the time, you've got a way to handle it that just doesn't pile on you, in either internally or in your conversation with her.
All right, Christy, thank you so much for the question. If there's more that we could do to support you, or some other follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about managing conflict and chaos gracefully. Give us a call. Let's work it out together. We're going to Julia right now, listening in Lansing, Michigan. Julia, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hello. I'm going to tell you that the nun that called me Julia way back when I was 12 or 13, that's not my name. Don't have an A on the end. It's an E.
So, we're sorry.
And I'm
we just have that on the board.
So, Julie, what can we do for you today?
When people call me Julia.
Well, I'm glad you were able to let us change it. Now it's correct on our board. What can we do for you today? It says that you're dealing with some health issues.
A lot of what you've been saying so far is really helpful. The person that was on before said regulate, separate, choose. That was wonderful.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think I am having burnout because I have so many health problems right now. And my brothers and sisters are all younger than me. I am, let's just say I'm in the early part of the 70s. And I think my relationships is not so great because they think, well, because of my not being able to breathe correctly, I have less oxygen sometimes, and my thinking patterns aren't always the greatest, or remembering. And they're kind of, so I'm also going to community mental health, and they're kind of saying, well, you need to be with the older adults. And I'm going, oh, please. And then they're worried that there's just something, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my independence. And financially, I'm not doing the greatest, and I spend too much money. I always have, and a bunch of addictions, and I think they just don't.
I see.
You want your independence, but your family is suggesting that maybe you need a little more. You need a little more support to be able to function well. And based on what you're describing, Julie, I think the most important thing is we have to bring our desires to God, right? It's good to want something, and independence is a good thing to want. The question is, can I handle the situation that I'm in well? Can I do the things, can I thrive in the situation that I'm in? And if I'm not thriving in the situation that I'm in, what support do I need to thrive? And when I say thrive, I don't mean live miraculously. I mean, do my absolute best in the face of the limitation, the real limitations I might be managing here. You know, so if you are able to live well and responsibly and make healthy choices and really feel like you're doing very well on your own, then that's a good thing, and you should fight for that. On the other hand, if you feel like you're struggling, as you said, you're struggling to make good financial choices, that sometimes you can't think clearly.
Sometimes you fall into addiction again. Those are things that don't help you to thrive.
And in those cases, we need to be humble enough to recognize that we need help. I don't know you. I can't tell you what to do. But I can tell you that you're expressing concerns that say, you know, there's a disconnect between the independence that you want and the support you might need. And I want you to take that to prayer and really reflect, bring that desire. Like, Lord, I want to be independent, but I also know that you want me to thrive. So help me to be humble enough to accept whatever level of support that I need to be able to be my best self and to be a good example to others and to live the life that you're calling me to live. Because that's the most important thing, Julie. You know, if I can't have the independence or the whatever it is that I want, but I am living a godly and virtuous and healthy life, that's the most important thing. And so the whole process of discipleship isn't giving up what we want, but it's giving it to God and saying, Lord, teach me how to relate to this thing. So, you know, to say, I want to be as independent as I can, but I also need to be willing to accept whatever support I need to really thrive and be my best. And so that's really the challenge that you have to face head on and accept the feedback from your family, especially if you're relying on them for support, because sometimes we turn to people for support and we ask for a level of help that they can't necessarily offer. Mm-hmm. And then we put them in a bad position because we're saying, well, you know, I need this help, but I want it from you, as opposed to being able to say, I need this help and I'm willing to get it from where whatever reasonable source could provide it. So, Julia, I really just want you to really recognize the call to humility that's in all this, the call to discernment that's in all
this. I want to be clear here. Humility is a very important virtue that we exercise that actually helps us stay open to the guidance of God. When we're not living in some state of humility, we just think we're God. I can do it all by myself. And we push people away. We push God away. But it's that healthy sense of humility that says, Lord, what do you want from me? What's the next step that I should take? And how should I look at the people that you've put in my life, whether it's my family or the people that are my support system, that are coming from you so that I can be closer to you and truly thrive?
Since we're using that word humility, let's just define it here. You know, because a lot of times when we say humility, people think we mean beat up on yourself or
right.
You know, run yourself
right.
down. That's not what humility means at all. Humility is the virtue of recognizing I need other people.
And
that
I need God.
That God made me to need him and to need others. And, you know, my natural human desire is to do myself like a toddler, right? That's the sin of pride, to look at my pile of needs and say, I'm going to do this myself, whether I can do it or not. That's the sin of pride. And the reason that the sin of pride is the worst of all the deadly sins is because it separates us from the herd. So Satan can pick us off more easily. It's you know, there are all these challenges that I'm facing, but I'm going to do it myself. And then I get crushed by all of those things. And I tend to take people down with me.
Yeah. And it also says, I don't need God. I'm going to prove to God that I can do this if we even acknowledge that he's there. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants that relationship that is so personal and so deep, and he can walk alongside of us and be there for us in all of our lives in a way that lets us know that we're loved and we are worthy. So being worthy in Christ doesn't preclude being humble. It actually goes hand in hand.
It requires it. Yeah, because that's the only way that we can really cooperate with God and with others. Julie, thank you so much for the question. We've added you and your health concerns to our prayer list. But we really just want to encourage you to, yes, by all means, be as independent as you can, but be humble and recognize the support that you need and the help that's available for you and receive that so that you can thrive and be a blessing to others by letting them take care of you. All right, with that, we are going to break. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
And beyond just the affirmation that we can get from this verse, there's really a challenge here, which is to do exactly what we've been talking about through the whole show. Don't try to handle problems on your own. Don't try to manage chaos and conflict on your own. Before you respond, even in that second before you say or do the thing, bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this, but I know you have a plan. Give me the grace to glorify you in however, whatever I do or say, to be my best self in whatever I do or say, and to make sure that whatever I do or say invites the people around me to be their best self too. That focuses us on what God is asking us to focus on in the face of any challenge. And that allows us to cooperate more effectively with God's grace to do His will in the middle of the chaos and the conflict. With that, we are taking a break. When we come back, more with your questions on our show titled Order in the Court, as we look at maintaining that spirit of calm and confidence in the face of chaos and conflict. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled Order in the Court, as we talk about managing chaos and conflict gracefully and responding to problems in ways that allow us to get a little more order in our lives. 877-573-7825. Let's help you find the calm, courage, and confidence to respond to the chaos and conflict in your life. Lots of C's there in a row, huh? 877-573-7825.
We have a question that came in from Nathan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois. He says, my fiancé was in a serious car accident a few weeks ago. Thank God she survived, and she doesn't have any major brain damage beyond a concussion. But she's facing a long road of surgeries and rehab. And the doctor says she may always need some kind of help to get through her days. I love her, and I'm absolutely committed to her, but I'm not sure I'm strong enough to handle this for the rest of our lives. I feel like a monster for even thinking this. I don't know if what I'm feeling is cold feet or something I need to be honest about before we make promises we can't take back. Am I a terrible person for even asking this question?
All right, Nathan, first of all, I want to add you and your fiancé to our prayer list and let you know that we will be keeping you guys in our prayers moving forward here. It's a very, very, very painful situation, and it's a terrible thing to have to consider. You're not a terrible person for asking the question, because beyond just the, you know, the question about, you know, what do you want to handle, there is a question of what would she need? What does she need in terms of the support? But I would say this. I want to go back to what Rachel Isaac said in her segment about the importance when we're facing situations like this to first regulate, then separate, then choose. So regulate in this case means for both of you to take some time, because this just happened a few weeks ago. You need to create some space to really see where things are settling, and most importantly, to calm your own spirit about this. As we've been talking about through the whole program, you know, when we fall into this sort of reactive place, we want to do something, we want to make a choice, we want to make ourselves feel better right now to know what's coming. And we have to kind of get comfortable with not knowing and being in this moment instead of trying to figure out what's going to happen 6 months or a year down the road. We all fall into that place. But the most important thing is to regulate first, to calm my own body and my own mind down, and to center myself in prayer, and then figure out from there, which leads to the second point about prayer.
Well, I want to take one moment and say, Nathan, as you go through this, you may feel more regulated once you're home for the evening, especially if you do something that makes you feel normal. You live in your normal schedule, or you go out and you be with people that you feel supported by. Just from the very nature of it, the minute you walk back into the hospital to visit her, and there's the bleeping sounds, and it's the white, bright white lights and all of those things, you're going to move back into that reactive mindset. So just realize that that's part of the place that you're in. It's part of this transition, and that's why we want to warn you again by not making sudden decisions about any of this, because the whole circumstance you're in right now is just sort of constructed to wire you to react.
The prayer piece of this is where you're really, both of you, I, to the degree that she's capable, and it sounds like she is, I would like you both to be bringing your relationship to God every day and saying, Lord, you know, bless our relationship. Help us to be for each other what you want us to be, and help us to know how to be here for each other through this thing. And I want you to focus on, what do I need to do to be here for her today? Not 6 months from now, not 20 years from now, but today. What do I need to do to be here for her today? And I want you to bring that back to prayer as well. Am I able to respond well to the things that she needs from me today? And you take it literally day at a time, but that way, not just in a passive sort of, well, I'm going to wait and see what tomorrow brings, but in a more active, what do I need to do to be here for her today? That leads to the separate part of this. Regulate, separate, choose. Separate is where I recognize, what do I need to decide to now versus what do I need to do, wait and see, get more information about, right? So the decision you need to make right now is, can I be here for her today the way she needs me to be here and still do the things that God has asked me to do in the other parts of my life? Or not, right? Because that's going to do more to tell you what you can do down the road than thinking about what's coming down the road.
Yeah. We can all freak out by anything that may come down the road, but we don't know that as a certainty. You know, St. John Henry Newman once said, I do not ask to see the distant scene, but one step at a time is enough for me. And that's really kind of the road to sainthood that he had here, because we all have to live that way. We all look down the little road and say, can I handle this? Or can I handle this with this person 30, 40, 60, 70 years from now? We don't know how that's going to work out. So taking this one step at a time and really being able to say, can I do this now?
Yeah.
Is going to ground you in this and help you know what you can handle, what you can't handle, and praying through it is going to help both of you discern.
Which then leads to the last step, which is choose, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the choose comes from looking at the past, looking not so much at the future, but at my ability or your ability to respond to how she's needed you today and the day before that and the day before that. So you're looking back at your history over several weeks and months and saying, have I been able to be there for her the way she needs me to be?
Now, that won't mean that it's not necessarily hard. You might say, that was a really hard day. Give it a week, and you might look back at that hard day and say, but you know what, I'm really proud of how I was there for her. And that will start to help you decide, you know, what you are able to do with God's
grace. So taking it one day at a time isn't a passive thing. It's an active process of saying,
important.
How am I responding to the challenges of this day? Am I responding to them well, in a way that really allows me to be who she needs me to be and still attend to the other things God has asked me to do? Or am I not doing so well on either of those fronts or both of those fronts, in which case that gives you information to choose. But take that regulate, separate, choose approach to this process rooted in real prayer where you're asked, to both of you are asking, what is God calling you guys to do? How is he calling you to be there for each other through all of this? And let the answer be revealed in time with that. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're struggling with a situation where you're dealing with chaos and conflict and you're not sure how to respond, let us help you find graceful ways to respond to all those challenges and more. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life, in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember that with God's grace, there's so much more to life.
Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.